Every Easter, we celebrate the resurrection. The greatest event in history. Death was conquered 2,000 years ago. Death had reigned since the fall of Adam. Every person was touched. Nobody was left untouched. Even Jesus Himself was overcome by death. But the great news is that death couldn't hold Him. Amen? Luke chapter 24 and verse 6, the beginning part of it says, He is not here, but is risen. Jesus proved His power as our Savior. Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus are absolutely central to the gospel message. Jesus shed His blood to pay for our sins. Jesus carried our sin away in death. And then Jesus overpowered death in order to grant life, new life, spiritual life, eternal life. He became Savior and Lord of all. The Savior of all who accept His salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Listen to me, if there's no resurrection, there is no salvation. There is none. The Apostle Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, if Christ is not risen, and then he went on to give what the impact of that would be. If Christ is not risen, preaching is a waste of time. There's no need to go on with the message. If Christ is not risen, if Christ is not risen, your faith is useless. You are still in your sins, he said. Everyone who is dead, who's gone before us, is lost for all of eternity if Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, if there's no resurrection, then we have no hope beyond this life. So you might as well just live it to the full, enjoying everything you can grab. If Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, he says those of us who believe are actually the most pitiful of all for believing a lie. But the apostle says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 6:15, he says, But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. If Christ was crucified on our behalf for our sin, and if Christ was raised victorious over death, then I have a question. Why do so many not believe in Him and take Him as their Savior? Well, the Bible shows that there are so many excuses that are given for not believing. Many excuses. But I'd like us to take a step back. Let's go back from Resurrection Sunday to Crucifixion Friday. And that's where I'd like us to focus in. If you've turned in your Bible to John chapter 19, then you want to camp in around verse 23 and 24, where it says, And then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took His garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. And now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided My garments among them, and for My clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. You know, the drama of the crucifixion has many participants. Many participants as we look at that drama. All along the way from when Jesus was under arrest all the way to the cross of Calvary, there were many participants that came and went and were part of it and then weren't part of it. Four players that are not often considered are those soldiers in these two verses. And I believe we can gain valuable insight by these two short verses that tell about them. What can we learn from them? What can we learn from those four soldiers at the cross? First thing we can learn from them is that those soldiers took the secondary benefits of the crucifixion while ignoring Jesus Christ. We learn that those soldiers took the secondary benefits of the crucifixion while ignoring Jesus Christ. It says there in the beginning part of verse 23, and then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to each soldier a part. They each took part of his garments. But they weren't alone. The Jews did the same thing. During his 3 years of ministry, Jesus healed many of the sick. During his 3 years of ministry, Jesus performed many miracles. During those 3 years of ministry, Jesus raised the social standing of so many outcasts. During those 3 years of ministry, Jesus challenged the whole power structure that existed there in that city and in that nation. And for those things, he was hailed as the awaited Messiah. Also, during those 3 years of ministry, Jesus threatened the religious establishment. During those 3 years of ministry, Jesus attacked the traditions of the people. During those 3 years of ministry, Jesus upset the political balance that was in place. And for those, he was considered a blasphemer of God. On Palm Sunday, Jesus was hailed, Hosanna! On Good Friday, he was cursed. Crucify him. On Palm Sunday, Jesus received palm branches as the anointed one. On Good Friday, he received a cross. On Palm Sunday, Jesus was the burden that was carried on the donkey. On Good Friday, he carried the burden all the way to Calvary. On Palm Sunday, he was proclaimed Savior. And on Good Friday, he was declared an enemy, needing to be executed. And by many of the same people who took the secondary benefits of his ministry, pretending to be well and not needing the cure that he had to offer. And how many today, how many sitting here right now, enjoy religion while ignoring salvation, pretending to be well and not needing the cure. We learn that, but we also learn those soldiers hoped for the best while relying on chance. Those soldiers hoped for the best while relying on chance. It says that they divided and also the tunic, and now the tunic was without seam, woven from top in one piece. And they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. They cast lots, or like we would see today, casting dice, in order to get the best garment. They all got their piece, but then they all threw the lot, like the dice, for that one perfect piece. That garment of one piece that was woven as one piece. You know, thinking of casting lots, thinking of gambling for things. What are the odds of winning a lottery? Millions to one. In fact, our lotteries that Maryland takes part in, the Mega Millions and the Powerball, the odds are somewhere in the area of 200 million to one. Somebody once said, you have better odds of getting struck by lightning twice on your way to buy a ticket than winning that lottery. What are the odds of salvation without Jesus Christ? You can't win that. And yet, how many place their eternal life in the hands of chance, saying things like, well, a loving God wouldn't send anyone to hell. Or no one really can be sure if there is a heaven. Anyway, God made the rules and God made the plan. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, the apostle writes, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." We can know God's salvation. And it's only through Jesus Christ. It's not through any good works on our part. It's not through any other way except through Jesus Christ and faith in Him. And we can, because of that, if we put our faith in Him, we can know that we have eternal life. Hoping on chance that eternal life comes in some other way than conscious faith in Jesus Christ is the surest way to miss it. Rituals won't save us. Going to church, being baptized, doing different religious things won't save us. The faith of our parents won't save us. It's good for them, but it doesn't do us any good at all. Infant baptism, being dunked in the water as a baby or sprinkled with water as a baby won't save us. But recognizing our sin and repenting and seeking forgiveness, it will. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate special revelation. You see, God revealed so much in creation. In fact, Romans chapter 1 tells us that what can be known of God, His invisible attributes, can be known and seen in the things that He made, that people are without excuse. But then He gave us scriptures and began to reveal more. And then He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the living Word, revealing much. God is sovereign. He is sovereign over His creation, and He has seen His creation. And let me tell you, in the shadow of the cross, in the very shadow of the cross, the soldiers worshipped chance. You know, this sail catfish, the reason that it's such a treasure to me is not the fact that it was given to me by someone. That's important. But let me tell you something about this sail catfish. If you take this skeleton, and it just looks like any old skeleton, and it's kind of flat on top because it's a catfish, not like regular fish, but you turn it over, and the bone structure, you can see Jesus hanging on the cross with His head bowed. And you know, inside here, there's a piece of calcium that stuck. In the very shadow of the cross, at the very foot of the cross, they worship chance. It's amazing. We can see God in everything that He's made. We'll pass that around if you'd like. At the cross, in the shadow, they worshiped chance. How many today ignore the sure way of salvation and take their chances, hoping that the sickness of sin isn't fatal and rejecting the cure of salvation by Jesus Christ? How many? Well, you know, there's another thing that we can see there with those soldiers that we can learn. Third, we learn those soldiers served God while not submitting to Him as Savior. Did you hear me? We learn those soldiers served God while not submitting to Him as Savior, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and my clothing they cast lots." God used them to fulfill Scripture. The soldiers served God without even knowing that they did. So close, yet so far. That's the title of this message. So close, yet so far. All authority is established by God. He's the one who lifts up one and puts down another. He's the one. God is sovereign over all His creation, even the people. Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. You know what that means? That means before God ever said, "Let there be light," The crucifixion was already planned. The Romans served God, and the Jews also served the Lord. You know, I was hired by a non-believer. I was hired by a non-Christian when I went to work for this computer company. Seems like forever ago now, about 40-something years ago. I didn't know Jesus Christ. He hired me, and him and I got to be real good friends. He moved from Massachusetts near Boston, where I grew up, and where he was. He was from Philadelphia. When his mother died, he decided to move to Miami, Florida. His wife was Argentine, and she really, at the time, felt out of place up in New England. It wanted to be where there are other Latins. And so they moved to Miami. And a year later, that non-believer contacted me to give me a job as a regional manager for Latin America in Miami. I got to Miami, and I've told this before, within 6 months after I moved to Miami, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. God used an unbeliever who, as far as I know to this day, is still hostile to Jesus Christ and the gospel. God used him to put me right in the place where I needed to be. God is sovereign. God uses all for his purposes. These soldiers, they served God, but they served him without submitting to him as Savior. How often are large financial gifts given to churches by unbelievers for whatever motivates them? You know, God, for his purposes, uses whatever he chooses. And how many today serve God unknowingly and yet miss Christ's salvation, thinking they can manage the sickness and they don't need the cure? Fourth, we can learn those soldiers left Calvary unredeemed while carrying their little souvenirs of sin. Verse 24, the end of it, it says, therefore the soldier did these things. They took the things and they cast lots for the one piece. They crucified Jesus, and then nothing is ever said about them again. And how many today do the same thing? They each got their garment to keep. Remember, Paul ended up in prison in Rome. And in that whole process, different governors would come. Agrippa and Felix was one of them. In Acts chapter 24, you don't have to turn there. You can take a look at this story on your own time. But Paul witnessed to Felix while he was in prison in Acts chapter 24. He witnessed to him. He consistently preached. He preached righteousness. He preached self-control. He preached God's judgment again and again to Felix. And the governor would call for Paul to come. He would listen to the gospel message as Paul shared it. He was faced with the truth, but chose to stay in his own sinful way. Scripture tells us he was hoping for a bribe from Paul. It says he kept bringing Paul back. Kept bringing him back to here, hoping for a bribe. And Paul kept telling him the message, faithfully sharing the good news. You see, Felix, he didn't care about the sickness. The cure wasn't important to him. He didn't care that he lived a sinful life. So the solution to sin and salvation through Jesus Christ that Paul kept preaching to him over and over again didn't matter. It was unimportant to him. Well, let me ask you, as you sit here, what about you? What about you? How many times will you hear the gospel and refuse it? How many times will you face your need and ignore it? How many times will you reject Jesus and eternal life? How many times will you simply settle for the souvenirs of your sin and go your way? If you have never received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then you still have the sickness of sin and its penalty and God's punishment on that penalty of an eternity without, in a place that the Bible calls hell, a place of punishment. You need the cure. You know, will you acknowledge your sins? And will you turn to Jesus for forgiveness and salvation and eternal life? God's Word says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, not just one of us, not just a few of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as I read earlier, in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. God loves us. And you know how He showed that love? Romans 5:8 says that He showed that love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans 10:9-10, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with our mouth confession is made, and with our heart we believe unto righteousness. And Romans 10:13 says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As you sit here today, have you acknowledged your need? Have you confessed to God that you have been rebellious and that you are a sinner against Him? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and that He rose from the dead? And the victory that He showed over death, He can give to you for eternal life. And where you sit, would you just pray this prayer? Just pray a prayer from your heart to God. Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I deserve Your punishment for sin. But I believe that Jesus died for my sin and that He rose from the dead victorious over sin. Please forgive me and be my Savior. Amen. If you pray that prayer in your heart, in sincerity from your heart to God, that you are saved. Your sins are forgiven and you are now a child of God.